This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome, everyone, to a Tuesday edition of The Damage Report. Yeah, I was that close to saying my show's name, but still, we're on The Damage Report. I'm J.R. Jackson. Good to see you guys. Glad you guys could be here with me. The Damage Report. Let's ride. But today, first, in order, before we ride out and get beat by 70 to 75 points, I've got a very special guest. In fact, I'm excited to see it. It's a bit of a reunion sometimes. When I get a chance to do the Damage Report, as we used to do live watch list shows, I get some of my favorite guests to hang out with me again. Today is one of those. His name is Trey Crowder. Maybe you guys have heard of him before. He's a comedian and he's an author of the Liberal Redneck Manifesto. He's going to be here to break down some top stories with us today. As usual, what's up, Trey? How you feeling, brother?
Hey, JR. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, I got the reference. Let's ride. That's what Russell Wilson says before they go out and get destroyed on the field. I mean, you probably don't have much of an overlap in the Venn diagram, do you, of watchers of this show and hardcore football fans? That's what I find.
Hardcore football fans, I don't think, generally watch so much of all the NFL. Yeah. I mean, of the political, the mindsets that we've got here, I don't think.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It seems to be two different worlds. So I'll just get on like a tirade on my pages sometimes about my terrible teams. And then, you know, my followers and people are like, we have no idea what any of that means. What are you talking?
Bro, like, I brought it up on the main show and Anna told me, please, let's stop talking about the Rams anyone else. Just saying, I apologize. But we're still here. We're still going to ride out. I just like the hat. That's how it's
It is a nice hat.
Glad you guys could be with us today. I want to see what's going on here before we get started because we have a lot going on. First of all, we got the usual with the politics and everything happened with Donald Trump. And as they're still trying to figure out how they're going to wiggle their way out of at least being normal or appealing to some American folks. So Donald Trump took off to South Carolina. And one way to make sure that you're still appealing to the people is to bring someone that they hate even more. Watch.
Another man is always there. He's always, I'll tell you what, when I need help on the left, he's great. He's great. And he's my friend, too. Lindsey Graham, wherever you are. Lindsey, thank you. Oh, no, no. He helps me on the left. We need help sometimes. Republicans shouldn't need help on the left, but he helps me.
Boom. Lindsey Graham, get off stage, go back to your day job that he's a senator. There is Donald Trump again, apparently openly and happily getting Lindsey Graham booed yet again. I knew it was going to happen. I think Trump also knew it was going to happen. It was one of the highlights from his trip to South Carolina. Yeah, Lindsey's state where he was booed. As he's there campaigning still again, talking to the folks, here's some highlights from his rally outside of that booing.
I flew to Iraq, remember? And I came back. Remember that brave flight when we landed on a runway with no lights? And I said, I want the Congressional Medal of Honor for myself. I said, am I allowed to give myself the Congressional Medal of Honor, Russell? And they said, I don't think that would look too good, sir. I said, I agree with you on that. When I came here, everyone thought Bush was going to win. And then they took a poll and they found out Trump was up by about 50 points. Everyone said, what's going on right here? They thought Bush, because Bush supposedly was a military person. Great. You know what? He got us into the Middle East. How did that work out? Right. But they all thought that Bush might win. Jeb. Remember Jeb? You have a better chance of being struck by lightning than hitting a whale with your boat. There has only been, listen to this, one such whale killed off the coast of South Carolina in the last 50 years. But on the other hand, their windmills are causing whales to die in numbers never seen before. Nobody does anything about that.
What? It was a compilation of things that was talked about. So I guess congressional medals of honor that he can give himself or maybe awarded by after he tells someone to give it to him. I don't know. Bush got us into the Middle East because, you know, the Middle East didn't exist until we got into it. And we only got into it when Bush got there because we never heard of the Middle East. We never did anything that affected countries in the Middle East. None of that ever happened. It was just once Donald Trump starts paying attention to things is when they start existing is what we've discovered about him on that stop. But main thing, Trey, before we go to some of the more fun things that were happening also with this rally. The thing is, he's still campaigning like this. He's still looking to skip more Republican primary debates. He's skipping yet the second one. Again, I've been asking other folks this too. Is this a good strategy, especially since he's saying nonsense things like this?
Well, I mean, his people love when he says nonsense things like that. Like that's right in his wheelhouse, you know, they love it. Yeah. He gets to talk about whales and boats and stuff. Like
I didn't get the whales. I don't know.
Maybe, well, here's my best guess. I think it's because in like general conservative philosophy, boats are sweet and windmills are gay and bad. Right. So like, you know, he's saying boats don't kill whales. Windmills kill whales. And but I didn't know that they cared about whales because saving the whales, that's a hippie lefty thing. So it kind of still doesn't make any sense. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why he wouldn't just keep doing it this way. It seems to be working just fine. You know, I mean, he's way out in front of everybody else and he just gets to go to play to his people all the time. You know, he's walking up there with a corked bat and just hitting dingers because he's playing it on easy mode. And like, I mean, why wouldn't he keep doing that? You know,
this is the thing. He's there. He's hitting home runs. People are not even paying attention to what the hell he's saying. But I'm trying to figure out also why Lindsey Graham keeps showing up to these events. In case you guys didn't know before, we don't have the throwback. I wish we did. But from before, I believe it was even like earlier this year, Lindsey Graham showed up at another event in South Carolina, got booed mercilessly, walked up there, gave a speech amongst boos. People were done over. It was constant. Even he had to address it at moments. Oh, you guys, calm down. It's Lindsey. He's helping me out. It's fine. And they bring his ass back. Again, there's something about watching people who are servants of his be right. humiliated at yes. his at the behest of his people. He loves it.
Yeah. As far as the Lindsey Graham thing goes, I agree completely. I thought the same thing. It's like he just like I bet it probably goes back to when remember 2016 before Lindsey bent over for Trump like everybody else did. He was saying like, you know, if Republicans, you know, fall behind Donald Trump, it will destroy this party yeah. and we will deserve it or whatever. And, you know. One of the more prescient things Lindsey Graham has ever said, but I guarantee you Donald Trump still remembers that. And yeah, he goes up there and it's like, it's just a power move. It's like, I'm on stage in your state in front of your constituents and merely just mentioning your name and, you know, elicits this kind of reaction from them. This is how much more they love me than you in your homeland. So remember your place and stay in your lane type of thing. Cause he's totally that sort of guy. So that's what
I think. More questions on Lindsey, because I feel like you maybe have a better insight than I do. You do one of the hardest jobs I think is possible on earth, trying to make people laugh with your own thoughts and jokes that you come up with in front of them live, mm-hmm. standing there with nothing but a microphone stand. It's tough. So if any comedian has ever faced a tough audience or maybe your jokes aren't landing, something along those lines at any point in your career, what do you do? And if you have that expertise, maybe if, say, Lindsey Graham says, I need a heckler advisor. Trey Crowder, I need you. I'm going to pay you $85,000 a year to be my heckler advisor to help me figure out how to deal with it. Because everywhere I go, they're booing.
Yeah. I mean, well, here's the problem is it's like you're working with Lindsey Graham, who I don't think has like the capacity to pull it off either way. Like the only thing... And they're booing him so hard, like from the very beginning, before he even said... they're not giving him a chance. Like sometimes... people hear you out and they're like, nah, this ain't it. And then they start booing or whatever. But like if people are booing you before you even touch the microphone, before you even get to the stage, like they're not really giving you much of a chance. The only thing you can do in a scenario like that is, you know, try and play the legendary card played by Bill Burr in Philadelphia a few years ago and just start like going in on them, right? Making fun of them and going back hard and try to earn their respect by not backing down. Right. I mean, that's kind of the thing that made Bill Burr's career and deservedly so. It's like the best handling of that type of situation ever, probably in the annals of stand up. But I'm saying Lindsey Graham couldn't do that. If he had an earpiece in his head with Bill Burr on the other side of it, coaching him through it, he'd mess it up. He don't have the cadence or the stage presence or any of that for it. You know what I mean? He's got like mammal energy. He's got time on the stage.
maybe he can work on it in the off season, get some skills together before the next campaign season, and he can be there.
When you ask which was the highest quality gun, sir, it's this one. That's a Glock. Glock actually did that. And these are actually great sellers for us. We sell
with the picture?
We do. It comes exactly like this from Glock.
Wow. And they sell well. They like me.
Of course.
They like me.
I got to buy one. 45.
Buy one. Sir, if you want one, this one.
No, I want to buy one. I want to buy one.
Can I get one more picture with the president?
Go ahead. Yes, sir. Sir.
Somebody there had one of the most annoying laughs ever. It's just natural. I'm sorry. It's okay. But there, Donald Trump showed up at a gun shop in South Carolina and was being shown a very particular, very special gun. Benny Johnson, amongst other conservatives, were losing their minds over the fact that Donald Trump was near guns. He was in a gun shop, and actually there was one he was holding. And he went, oh, my God. This is what Benny said. Trump handles a custom Trump 45 Glock at Palmetto State Armory in Somerville, South Carolina. American badass. Because he's holding a gun that someone created and etched his face in the handle of, because that's badassery. Even more so, let's look at this next picture. And Bridget Gabriel also tweeted this out, or X'd it. How cool. Donald J. Trump just purchased a Glock in South Carolina. I love this president. Did he purchase a Glock in South Carolina? Look at the way he's holding the gun, first of all. Hey, so for the gun nuts out there who always like to talk about how, hey, if you don't know anything about guns, you can't mention it at all. I feel like this is a pose with a gun and not really him holding a gun. It's holding it very delicately, that American badass, so he can pose with it, because that's what he's there for, to pose with a gun that he then said he was going to buy because his face was on it. There's another person, Stephen Chung, his campaign spokesperson, also posted about it and said, President Trump purchases a Glock in South Carolina. So badass. This is what they're campaigning on, by the way. There's a problem with this whole thing, though, because as Trump said, I'm going to purchase this gun because it has my face on it. If he did so, he'd be breaking the law. Maybe that's why they're going to lift some of these more gun laws, too. Here's the details on that. Under the main federal gun law, 18 U.S.C. 922, it's illegal for merchants to sell firearms to people who are under indictment for crimes carrying sentences of more than a year. That includes Donald Trump. Indicted defendants are also barred from shipping or receiving any weapons that have crossed state lines. So you can't even get it sent to you, bro, back in Florida or wherever you're hanging out at the time. And also within hours of this, though, that same spokesperson who was talking about how awesome it was, and look what he's buying, a Glock, look, he said he's going to do it. He then took that tweet down, or X'd down, because that would have been illegal. President Trump did not purchase or take possession of the firearm, is what he then wrote. He simply indicated that he wanted one. Calm down, you guys. Just calm down. He just said he wanted to buy it because that was part of his photo op. So as long as you guys can recreate this whole situation in your mind, understand he didn't buy the gun, so he's not necessarily an American badass. He wasn't ready to shoot that gun, so he's not an American badass. Matter of fact, he lied about wanting to even buy because he can't do it anyway. Is he a softie now, Trey?
I mean, he's been a softie. Like, that's nothing new. But yeah, you know, as soon as like, you know, they were going to get fully torqued as soon as Trump even got within 50 feet of a gun show or guns. You know what I mean? That's their two favorite things, colliding like that. But it is funny that they have to keep, it's like the evangelicals have to like pretend that they truly believe he's like a holy man. It's the same thing with them and believing that he's a genuine American badass. Like he's Rambo or something, like they depict him in all their oil paintings. Then you put an actual gun in his hand and he's like holding it like it's a puppy or something like that. Like it has his name on it. It's got like Trump 45 on the side of it. So I wish he would have like held it up by his face. You could see both, like he's smiling, you know, holding it by mm-hmm. his head. Like, can you see my name on there? And he's pointing a gun at his own face because that's how dumb he is.
I was wondering that.
There's just so many layers of, hilarious typicality to this because of all that. And then also the fact that it was, you know, a felony on top of it, like another one to add to the list. He was breaking the law without realizing it. Yet again, I'm kind of surprised that they took it down or are acknowledging that they care that they broke that law, because that hasn't generally been their move before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
who cares?
Maybe that's
oh my God.
Step in the right direction.
But yeah.
It's how they operate. And this is the other part about this, because this is what I did see and I wasn't sure about, and I had to confirm it this morning. Did you hear about this part? Because over at this local Jacksonville, I think it was a news outlet, pointed out that this particular place, as it was called, the Armory. One more time, I want to get Palmetto State Armory. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was a coincidence, Trey. But at least one of the weapons used in the deadly, racially motivated shooting in Jacksonville, Florida, that killed those three black folks in that Dollar General store from that white supremacist who's etched, I'm sorry, he painted swastikas and a bunch of racially charged things on that same gun that he used to kill black folks, targeted them specifically, was purchased at the same Palmetto State Armory in South Carolina. So he took it from there and had it over in Florida and was shooting folks specifically with it there. There's images that the sheriffs down there then point out when they were pointing out the things he wrote on the gun, and etched in one of those guns was the logo from Palmetto State Armory. Again, white supremacist, people like to say right. Wolf, mental health conditions with him. It's nothing that it's any connection to anyone else. But Donald Trump shows up at the same place that sold him one of the guns that murdered three black folks specifically because they're black. I don't know if it's a head nod, a silent thing, but either way, if you figure it out later, maybe you should address that you shouldn't have been at that place. It's just too many connections for me.
Yeah, I agree with that last part. Like, you know, if that they find that out and he should acknowledge it and, you know, be like, hey, just so you know, it wasn't on purpose. You know, you try finding a gun store in the South that hasn't sold guns to Nazis. You know what I mean? But honestly, though, that's probably true. But yeah, no, I don't think he knew. He didn't know it was a Glock. You know what I mean? He's like, is this one of those Tech Nines they got out there? Like, what do you call that? And they're like, this is a Glock, Mr. President. Like, he clearly doesn't know anything about any of it. But yeah, I mean, that's a truly unfortunate circumstance. And I'm sure they do know now, and he has been told, and, you know, they're going to just let that ride. So what's kind of the difference in the end? You know what I mean? Whether they did it on purpose or just, you know, don't acknowledge that they did it at all. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure if they even knew. I mean, look, as you said, who knows how many gun shops across the country sells right. to people who go again commit murder, because that's how murders happen. People buy
guns.
Yeah,
that's what guns are for, or oftentimes for, yeah. So
I at least want to put that out there. It's not a matter of Palmetto Armory being like in cahoots with white supremacists. I don't know, but this doesn't indicate that specifically. But when it comes to these maybe potentially like, you know, veiled head nods after the fact, you just got to check all your traps, because you never know where some of the folks that openly support you get their weapons before they commit murder. In case you guys are okay with the way he's holding a gun and posing with it and actually has no intention of buying it, because who knows how much he's into guns himself, there's one more part about this, because what about his stances on gun control? Because, you know, Donald Trump, as they point in some of these tweets, because he's holding a damn gun with his face on it, it means that he's all about our precious Second Amendment. And anything about that has to be wide open and have absolutely no regulation. One Donald Trump from March 12th of 2018 tweeted this out. This is after the Parkland shooting. Very strong improvement and strengthening of background checks will be fully backed by the White House. Is he talking about Biden's White House? Because this is in 2018. Legislation moving forward. Bump stocks will soon be out. He says bump stocks will soon be out. Highly trained expert teachers will be allowed to conceal carry. Okay, he's back on track with them. And also he says subject to state law. Armed guards are okay. Deterrent. And also, one more piece. CBS News pointed out that in his 2000 book that was entitled The America We Deserve, that someone else must have written, is what he said as far as his support on ban on assault weapons. I generally oppose gun control, but I support the ban on assault weapons, and I also support a slightly longer waiting period to purchase a gun. Are you guys Xing about that? Are you tweeting about how he's this soft lib who doesn't want you guys to have your guns? Donald Trump. He's coming for your bump stocks. He's coming for your assault weapons. And he also has no intention of trying to expand our mass gun problem in our country. He must be a lib. I think you guys are figuring this out too. I'm about to get out. You got last thoughts, brother?
Just that, like, I kind of remember when that happened in 2018 and kind of being like, well, you know, at least he's not a total lunatic on every single thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to get go after him too hard for showing some semblance of you know, sensibility when it comes to guns, especially considering when he talks, they listen. I mean, they'll still just remain as fanatical about guns as ever and pretend like he never said those things is all that'll happen. He's not actually going to shift them in any real direction. But still, it's better than him trying to, you know, hand out ARs at you know, every public kindergarten across the country or anything like that, which is what, you know, some of them would probably do if given the opportunity. So I guess I'll take it.
Yeah, I remember my my kid's third grade teacher. She was a highly trained and highly precise and accurate guns sniper.
You know. Well, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of times former special ops guys, Navy SEAL types, when they retire, they go into elementary school teaching. A lot of people didn't know that because they also, they love finger painting and stuff. There's a lot of overlap between the skill sets. So kind of makes
natural,
sense.
It's yeah. a natural progression. What we can do? Come on. Let's take this first break. Actually get some of your thoughts. Maybe you guys have some ways that Lindsey Graham can avoid being booed. Maybe he can talk to Donald Trump and tell him, yo, I'm not going to show up. Who knows? Maybe something more complicated. Curious what you guys have to say. We'll get to all that in a second before we come back and then talk about more presidential politics, more problems for other folks in that primary. One Ron DeSantis is still struggling. We'll see if he has a new way out of this. We'll do all that, but we'll talk to you in a second. I understand. I did a lot more talking than reading in that break, but we're going to do a lot more of it later. One more, though, because I enjoyed this. Super chat from Andrew says, there are dozens of football fans here. Dozens of us.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you guys. And for everyone else, they're like, please stop it. So let's go on to more. I promise. Let's go here with our primary situation on the Republican side. Ron DeSantis still struggling to get some kind of traction here in this primary as Donald Trump continues to stretch his lead or just continue to hold it that he had from the very beginning. And now that the second debate is on the horizon for one Ron DeSantis, he's adding one more because he needs as much camera time as possible when he's not actually speaking to anyone else. So now he's looking for two different debates, one on September 27th, the Republican primary debate, and also another against one Gavin Newsom from California, who's not running. Who knows? Polling shows DeSantis is not gaining any ground nationally, as I point out. So here it is. A CNN University of New Hampshire poll released last week showed that the governor is dropping 13 points in the critical early state of New Hampshire. He's now behind Vivek Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley and Chris Christie, who's on a scorched earth tour against Donald Trump, which I guess is working a little bit more so than Ron DeSantis' I'm a little Trump reproach he's got. So the problem is, calm down. He wasn't focusing so much on New Hampshire. He was actually focusing a lot in Iowa because another big early state there. But it's not working there for him either because Trump's still beating him by 24 to 37 points in Iowa. And that's still not happening for him. So his campaign may finally be seeing some other way to go about this. That's when they're bringing up this whole thing with the second debate. So a memo sent from the DeSantis campaign to donors on Saturday suggests that this is going to be a good opportunity for him. This is what the memo went on to say. DeSantis is the only candidate that can beat both Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And we're the only campaign built for the long haul in terms of resources and organization. That's what his campaign manager, James Uthmeyer, wrote in that memo. So pause for a second. This is for the presidency. The reasons why that he should continue on or reason why he has so much more support is not because his policies resonate with the American people, that he has this, he's building momentum and people actually like him if they get a chance to actually meet him. And as soon as he spreads his campaign across the country, it's going to catch on like wildfire. It's because he's got resources, because he's got money is why we should vote for a guy for president. Does that sound like a working democracy to you guys? This guy should be president because he's got money. Okay. Uthmeyer goes on to claim that Trump has a disastrous stretch, citing Trump's appearance early this month at an Iowa versus Iowa State college football game, where it appeared some of the crowd were giving Trump the middle finger. I think that could happen in a lot of places. To a September 16th interview on NBC News, where he said he'd be open to a compromise with Democrats on federal abortion restrictions. Oh, my God. Thoughts on this whole thing? Is this working? Is this going to work for DeSantis, Trey?
No, I mean, I feel like he's dead in the water, dude. I don't think anything's going to work for DeSantis. I feel like misled by all that because before we really got to the actual like campaigning and all that for 2024, like it was this narrative. It's like, oh, it's going to be Trump versus DeSantis. Trump, you know, we always said for years, wait till the next wave comes through of like Trump acolytes who are actually like, you know, someone in, who have brains that work, have some degree of competency, like that's when we're really going to be in trouble. And then in COVID with Florida and everything they did down there, it was like, this is him. He's here. This is that guy, Ron DeSantis. This is their next guy. And it was like billed as this like upcoming heavyweight fight. And I was kind of looking forward to watching them go at each other. But, you know, like Trump just swept him off the stage immediately. And it's just been one humiliation after another for DeSantis ever since. It's like people thought they heard like, oh, there's some good lunacy going on down there in Florida with all the COVID stuff and all that. I like what that guy's about. Then he got out in front of him and started talking and like bobbling his head around and all this weird non-human type stuff he does. And they were like, oh, well, never mind. This is the guy? Forget that. Like, so, yeah, I don't think it's going to work out for him necessarily. It was surprising. But I'm fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. I actually thought he was going to do better. And I was a little concerned that we'd have to deal with a Ron DeSantis. But
yeah, still, right.
No matter what, we're dealing with one of these two lunatics.
Yes, right. And that is, but I don't, that's the thing also, like you said, like he's been going after, like he has been somehow making Trump look like kind of good. Don't get me wrong. I can't stand Donald Trump. I'm saying that's how bad Ron DeSantis is like he has somehow managed to make Trump look somewhat sane in some of these instances. Like DeSantis made that video about how much he hates trans people. And it included this montage of Trump being like, we will protect our trans Americans. And, you know, we support our gay, you know, whatever. Like, and it made Trump look kind of all right. And then like now he's like, yeah, Trump said he would work with the Democrats against abortion, which is like a thing that, you know, most people hate. Right. So it's like, and then Trump is always saying like, I'm not going to go after Social Security and all these things. That's what these other guys are saying. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I just didn't think it was possible for someone to somehow like make Trump look generally all right through virtue of just how terrible they are. But Ron DeSantis is somehow pulling it off. But like I said, dude, Trump still existential crisis. Don't misunderstand me.
100%.
That's just how bad DeSantis is.
Yeah, every time they point out something he's doing that's so unconservative or un-Republican, right. We're like, oh, you mean he actually cares about one thing?
Yeah, right.
Because he sees that, which also shows how Donald Trump is. He'll go whichever way that'll help him in any little small instances. We talked about the gun control talk even earlier. We got governor in Florida who's known for the radical right-wing things he's doing and limitations on people's freedoms and book burnings and all these types of things, how much he hates black folks. But then outside of that, we've got Gavin Newsom. Perfect. Two different types of governors coming together. It'll be on November 30th. They're going to debate for some reason. And Ron DeSantis right. was itching to do so. These details will tell you why he was itching to do so. So, and at a campaign event in Iowa, the DeSantis described his thinking for accepting this debate with Gavin Newsom. He says, one, Biden's agenda is ultimately just trying to take the California agenda nationally anyways. California leftism is kind of how the Democratic Party operates, is what he said. He claimed that Biden may not be the candidate and that Newsom may instead become the Democratic nominee. So if you're running for president, you're going to debate someone that you assume is going to become the candidate for absolutely no reason outside of the fact that they're speculating that he'd become the candidate because there's this concern about Joe Biden and he's 85 years old. I'm exaggerating, and that all this is happening, and therefore he's going to get replaced. So let me debate a guy who's not even in the race because maybe that'll make me look better. The problem is there was a lot of things that Ron DeSantis wanted in this particular debate that they're not going to allow from the Newsom side. DeSantis' team wanted an audience. They wanted this whole thing to have a theatrical aspect so they could have cheering and then make himself look better for his own race itself. Let's go to this graphic five here. Emphasizing that they want a real debate and not a circus, the Newsom spokesperson, Nathan Click, said in a statement, we've agreed to the debate, providing there's no cheering section, no hype videos, or any of the other crutches that DeSantis requested. Yeah, they requested these things. And one other part, this last little bit of fun, Yahoo News did a poll in late June about DeSantis versus Newsom in a hypothetical 2024 matchup. A total of 39% of respondents said that they would vote for Newsom compared to 36% who would choose DeSantis. Still, the Florida governor is more popular among independent voters that said 38% of them said they would vote for him in a hypothetical presidential race as opposed to 33% of independent voters who would vote for Newsom. I guess this could all be fleshed out on November 30th when Ron DeSantis, who's running for president, is going to debate Gavin Newsom, who's not running for president just because. Clown shows. Before we move on, you got some thoughts, bro?
I mean, yeah, my main thing was just, you know, why? But I guess for Newsom, it's like, I mean, DeSantis does have a huge profile. He's like, you know, he's this massive punching bag at present. And I guess Newsom was like, I'd like to get some licks in on that. Seems pretty easy. Everyone else is doing it. Why not punch my ticket as well? And, you know, I don't care what he says. Newsom definitely is, you know, got his eyes on bigger things in the future. So I guess it's just like a profile thing for him. I don't really understand what the framing of it is supposed to be, though, because like you said, it's like they're just like, yeah, we're just going to debate each other. And whoever wins is they just go back to whatever they were doing before. And, you know, and nothing's for, you know, it's not for anything and none of it matters. But, you know, sure. Why not? Newsom, I felt like I'm a transplant to California, and I had like gotten the impression I feel like it's been kind of all over the place on Newsom out here. Like I'd gotten the impression for a while. I was like, dude, a lot of people in California don't like this dude. But now it seems like some people love him, and I just don't know. I know that like around the rest of the country, like all the mammals out there, mine included, they think California is like a lawless wasteland, you know, filled with just like everybody's, you know, naked and on drugs and robbing CVSs and or homeless and all this stuff. And like, I try to tell her all the time, it's like, Mama, it's Elysium. You know what I mean? Like compared to where I'm from, like I live in the Valley. It's like, it's all very suburban and it's not like that at all. And so, you know, California seems pretty all right to me. It's like the third or fourth largest economy in the world. Like, up, including everything, including countries. It's like number four. It's like ahead of Germany and everybody else. So, I mean, you know, must not be doing too bad. And it's not surprising when the whole homeless thing out here, like, where would you rather be homeless, here or Minnesota?
That's the thing. I've always mentioned that.
Of course, there's more homeless people out here. Like, first, they get shipped here by everywhere else. And then, like, you wouldn't leave here. You know, it's sunny in 72 most of the year, you know, whereas if you're outside for 5 minutes in December and, you know, in Minnesota, your eyeballs freeze. Like it's, you know, it's not that hard to understand. So I think, yeah, California seems pretty all right. Newsom seems pretty all right. But I don't really know what this thing is with him and DeSantis, though.
Yeah, what is the problem? People think that California is Los Angeles. It's just the thought process. California, the state of California is Los Angeles. And if it's not Los Angeles, it's then San Diego and San Francisco. Yeah, the rest of those small towns and deserts in between don't count. But that's where a lot of the red portions of California are, because they're away from many major city centers. That's just how it works in any state. Let's keep it real. It's not like it's an odd state as far as that goes. But yeah, and maybe that's where some of the disgruntled nature comes from for Gavin Newsom here, which I'm glad you pointed out. Maybe he's going to get this national profile. Let's go to this because, yeah, that is actually the reason behind this debate from Gavin Newsom. Let's go here. California Governor Gavin Newsom. Yeah, he's been wondering whether or not he's going to be running, people are wondering whether or not he's going to be running for president. And every time he gets asked, it's hell no, absolutely not. Joe Biden is the leader of the Democratic Party. He's doing an excellent job. Nothing is a problem. Let's go to what Newsom was saying because he went on 60 Minutes. And they asked him more specifically. So correspondent Cecilia Vega asked him the following in regards to the new policies that he is now implementing in a bid to reduce California's homelessness rate, because that's what everyone's talking about when it comes to California. This is what they said on 60 Minutes. You may be termed out here, but does cleaning up the streets of California factor into a potential presidential run? Newsom responded, I'm never going to overpromise that in the short run. I mean, we are struggling in this state. Housing and homelessness. Is that a yes or a no? Is what Cecilia Vega pressed Newsom on again. He said, that was a never-ending response to your question, which maybe it sounds a little bit more clear when he said it. But that was a never-ending response because he's always working to get to a certain point. But he also don't want to say, I'm never running for president, because let's keep it real. And I believe this too. Of course, Gavin Newsom is looking to run for president at some point in his life. That's what all these politicians want to do if they have a high enough of a national profile, which he's building right now. One more part about this, though, maybe this is why he's leaving it slightly open. Washington Post pointed out there's this anxiety rippling throughout the Democratic Party over Joe Biden. There's these concerns over his age and also these polls showing that he's neck and neck with Trump, which some people are disputing as well. So who knows? That's why I don't pay attention to polls. That's why I just go out and vote. So this is now the next problem. Is he going to run for president? Is your California governor going to run for president there? Who knows?
I mean, surely he's not going to run against Biden, I wouldn't think. But I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, the Biden age thing drives me crazy because it's like Trump's almost as old as him, but also, an insane, stupid person and a hate-filled rage monster and a tyrant and all this stuff in addition to being old. So it's like all that or just old. Which one would you rather have? Like, why do they make such a big deal? I mean, I do still worry. I worry we could end up in like a RBG situation, you know what I mean? Because of Biden's age, which would be unfortunate, but it just is what it is. And if the choice is between them two, it's very clear to me. But yeah, Gavin Newsom, I just know whenever he does step in onto that stage, whenever that happens, like, they're going to really, really hate him, I'm pretty sure, because like he's, you know, he came from California. Like he's the face of California. So it's like, in addition to being like super, super commie socialist lefty, right? You know, mandatory abortions for all, steal everybody's guns, taxes, astronomical, all this stuff that they fear. In addition to that, he also has the kind of like the like coastal elite snob thing too, like in their mind. Like during COVID, he's like eating at the French Laundry during, you know, lockdowns, that type of stuff. It's like, but they're gonna hate whoever it is. Like whoever we come up with on the left, they're gonna lose their minds over and gnash their teeth and all that. It's just like I look at him and I can just already see the, you know, the rage forming and the shape it's going to take when they point their vitriol at him. But if you know, like I said, that's going to happen regardless of whoever emerges, they're going to become the antichrist to half of this country. So
he's pushing his national profile. But if he's going to go on Fox News and have this debate, as we mentioned before, with Ron DeSantis, they're going to be talking about things. Sean Hannity apparently is going to be moderating the whole thing. And this is some of the stuff that I'm sure they're going to try and bring up, because from the Associated Press, this, again, think about the policies that Ron DeSantis is doing out there in Florida versus some of these. One of the laws that he's putting into place, he's pushing more things. One law sets timelines from Gavin Newsom. Required cultural competency training for public school teachers and staff. This has nothing to do with shooting guns. While another creates an advisory task force to determine the needs of LGBTQ plus students and help advance supportive initiatives. A third initiative here requires families to show that they can and are willing to meet the needs of a child in foster care, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. These things are what they're probably going to challenge him on, which seem like it's providing freedom and life to Americans. Weird that they'd be against that. There's more. California is proud to have some of the most robust laws in the country when it comes to protecting and supporting our LGBTQ plus community. And we're committed to the ongoing work to create safer, more inclusive spaces for all Californians. These measures will help protect vulnerable youth, promote acceptance, and create more supportive environments in our schools and communities. Sounds so bad. There's more. He signed legislation that requires schools serving first through 12th grade to have at least one gender-neutral bathroom available for students by 2026. Oh my God, this is going to be so bad. And also, he's going against these book bans as well. Under this new law, which will take effect immediately, the state will fine schools that block textbooks and school library books for discriminatory reasons. It's going to also charge districts for replacement textbooks when they fail to purchase curriculum aligning with state anti-discrimination laws. And that provision was added to the legislation at the behest of the Newsom administration earlier this year when he was dueling with a conservative school board in Southern California. Yes, those exist in Southern California, conservative school boards. And the bill passed by a 2/3 margin, despite this opposition from Republicans in the school boards association. So he's picking fights, but he seems to be on the right side of those fights. So as these debates come, we'll see if Ron DeSantis versus Gavin Newsom can actually have people understand who's the bad guy, who's the good guy. We'll find out who's good at doing this. It'll all come together at the end. Let's take this next break, you guys. I want to get to a few more of your comments. I promise I won't talk about myself as much unless something triggers in my head. I can't promise everything. We'll see you in a second. We got more stories on the back end.
Travis Kelce has been in the news. He's a big football player. I don't even know who he plays for. Is it Kansas City? There's two of them.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. And he has decided to use his fame and power to try to push the Pfizer COVID vaccine on us. He went out there. Well, here's the video.
Travis, did you know you can get this season's COVID-19 shot when you get your flu shot?
Oh, two things at once.
I'll have the two things at once, please.
Travis, ask about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot.
Oh, God. Showing off his little Band-Aid.
This is a disaster. Travis Kelce didn't add for Pfizer COVID vaccine. Oh, my God. Yes, when I saw it, I didn't want to ruin my weekend, so I didn't go straight to X or Twitter or whatever the hell people call it now to find out how many people's heads were on fire over an ad where Travis Kelce, NFL tight end, as Megyn Kelly there said, used his fame and power to push the COVID vaccine among us. Because once Travis Kelce, a tight end that she didn't even know what team he plays for, because, you know, football fans know who this guy is, but no one else generally would. He has fame and power. And if you don't know who he is, once you see Travis Kelce's face, you know what you have to do? You have to get the vaccine because he has power like that. There's more from these ridiculous folks talking about this. Let's watch.
Travis Kelce should be shamed and humiliated for this because he obviously hasn't thought this through. People look up to him, and a lot there, if people follow his advice, the data shows that there might be some harm because of it. And not just myocarditis and pericarditis developing autoimmune issues, but what is the upside? We're acting as if getting the virus is a killer. And the data shows that if you're healthy and you eat fine and you're not obese, 18 to 50, that with even mild interventions, you're going to be fine when it comes to COVID. This is sick care.
The vaccine is not a killer. As long as you can list these five different parameters of what you'd have to have a better chance of surviving, because I've specifically known folks that hit all those parameters that you're talking about who, yes, passed away from COVID, complications from COVID-19. So, yeah, sure, we can just say it, but who cares? Also, as far as that, the myocarditis and pericarditis, right? Let's talk about that a little bit, too, before you jump in here, Trey. Among teenage boys, here's the data. Here's the data. Among teenage boys, the rate of myocarditis and pericarditis after infection from COVID-19 was at least 50 cases per 100,000 people, troubling, compared to at least 22 cases per 100,000 after the second vaccine dose. The overall risk of heart conditions after COVID infection, not the vaccine, COVID infection, was up to 5.6 times higher compared to the second vaccine dose. The risk was up to 69 times higher after infection compared to the first shot. Overall, the risk of heart issue after COVID infection was anywhere from 2 to 115 times higher compared to vaccination, depending on age, gender, and the dose administered. So sure, we have the issues with myocarditis and all that, except we have that issue when you get COVID and people have heart issues after that too. But why talk about the entire conversation? Let's just talk about the parts that make their argument look better. Also, the whole thing about preventative measures versus he said it's some kind of health care or something for it. Still, it doesn't matter. As long as we're pushing a certain particular narrative about this whole thing, it'll be what it is. And by the way, we've been through the COVID shot and the vaccine stuff for long enough that if now Travis Kelce, Trey, jumps on an ad, some humorous images in it, and says, I got a blue Band-Aid now on my arm. Okay, bro. Other folks have said it too. Does this change the game? It doesn't matter. They just need to have something to be mad about.
Yeah. I mean, yes, that they have something to be mad about. And also, I think, like, just with everything with them, it's like they have to know it's somewhat preaching to the choir, I would think, because like you said, we've been, that vaccines have been out for so long. They've been having these arguments for so long. And it's like, did they not understand that, like, the millions of us out here who have had the vaccines and then maybe also have had COVID and it was fine, or maybe didn't have COVID or whatever, and certainly have not had like our heart exploded or any kind of like, you know, we didn't turn autistic or whatever the stuff is they say happens from the vaccine. Like, millions of us have had it. None of that happened. It's been years now. What do they think these arguments, what kind of difference are they going to make? Like, they only impact the other people who are like them and refuse to get the jab in the first place. But I don't understand how those people aren't looking around and being like, why aren't all my neighbors falling over dead all the time from the vaccine? If that, you know, so many people got it, like, it's just a weird thing how that, but yeah, Travis Kelce, I'm just upset that, like, you're kind of making me like Travis Kelce. I never had a problem with Travis Kelce, but like I respect the Chiefs, but I don't like the Chiefs because I just don't. It's just not how my fandom goes. But so I'm never a big Kelce fan. But this stuff with Kelce is about to get wild, dude. Because as I'm sure you're aware, this is like not even close to the biggest Kelce news this weekend. He's also apparently dating Taylor Swift, right? And so. Dude, and Taylor Swift, she like went against Marsha Blackburn. She came out as like a lefty like recently or whatever. And it's like people are like, oh, it's a publicity stunt, raising their profile. When you combine that with all his like leftist narrative things he's doing and he's dating her, like the conspiracy theories are going to get wild, I think, as they concern Kelce and Taylor Swift. It's going to get real dumb real soon, I think. So buckle up, everybody.
Hey. The seatbelt is on. Let's go jump into the stupidity because I'm glad you brought up the Taylor Swift news because one Travis Kelce apparently has been seen with one Taylor Swift and she showed up at his football game over on Sunday and then wearing jerseys, hanging out in the box with the family. It seems like it's a very serious relationship. Not only that, since Travis Kelce, football player, is now dating Taylor Swift, allegedly, there's also this that he's doing. Watch.
If he winds up marrying Taylor Swift, who is there cheering him on because she's super woke now and did this big push register voters over the weekend. Yeah, good luck with that. That's right. They're not going to get married.
Yeah, I'm going to say that you're not exactly proving that you make the best decisions, Travis. So,
well, didn't he also endorse Bud Light? Didn't he also endorse Bud Light?
Probably. Like
obviously, he's super white woke. I mean, he's super woke. He's with Taylor. He endorsed Bud Light, like post-controversy. And he's pushing the Pfizer vax. So there you go.
Wouldn't that be something you want to stand by your convictions on? I can't believe he would still support Bud Light in their whole one small promotional thing with a known trans figure, right? But because of after the controversy, still stood by Bud Light, you're complaining about it? Which one do you want it to be? Because if he didn't, you'd be like, look how he switched his positions. Does he really believe in these things? Yo, it's finding something to complain about no matter what. So sure, Travis Kelce stood by his convictions and was like, I don't care that you guys are throwing your Bud Light that you paid 22 cents for an 18 pack on. I don't care. I'm still supporting. And they're still mad about that too. But also Taylor Swift. Did you notice what she said there, Trey? Taylor Swift using her power and influence too, I guess. And she had this big push. She's woke now. And this big push, she mentioned it really quickly, to register voters. It has become woke. It has become lib. And it has become anti-conservative. Not become, because it's always been, but now they're admitting it. To register voters. They don't want people to vote because they know the majority of the country knows that their policies, their thought process, and the way they want to control you is absolutely opposite of what we actually believe. But if somebody wants to register voters, it's woke now, and you're down around Taylor Swift. But the best part about this is, let's go to this graphic 4. Travis Kelce's jersey sales spiked by nearly 400% after Taylor Swift showed up at that game. That part I'm annoyed by, but not even that much because who really gives a damn?
Yeah. The voter registration thing, you're right. It is woke to try to get people to vote now because more voters means, you know, more L's for conservatives, which they're all fully aware of. But like I mentioned earlier, she has also gone after like Marsha Blackburn, for example. Her and Marsha had a little beef, you know, in my home state of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I know it was big. I feel weird knowing as much about this Taylor Swift stuff as I do, but you know, it's just how it goes. But like, I know it was a huge controversy with her people, like that she never used to make any kind of political statements, but she just couldn't stand by and watch this anymore. And she finally spoke out and that all happened relatively recently. And so, you know, that's why they're calling her woke now and everything. But another thing I'll say as far as like Kelce goes is like, I would rather potentially incur the wrath of like the online MAGA mob any day than incur the wrath of Swifties, right? So like nobody wants that smoke on the internet. Those people are wild, dude. So long as he treats her right, he's got his own army that'll rush to his defense at any given point in time. You know what I mean? He'll be protected for these people. You know, what is the wrath of MAGA in the face of the Swiftie horde? You know,
this is what I have to see. We talked about a Ron DeSantis versus Gavin Newsom matchup from coastal governors and opposite points of view coming together.
Yeah.
What's the battle like once you get MAGA running with their flags and their tiki torches with a bunch of Swifties? I'm not sure what Swifties carry around with them, but they apparently appear to be pretty vicious. I never thought about this fight. Yeah. I don't want to see the actual violence of the fight, but I want to see at least the debate. What is that about?
Well, I'm telling you, man, I think it's coming again. But like, I don't think they're fully. I can't when you show them analyzing Swifties and where they're at, like trying to check the temperature of the Taylor Swift fan base. But like, I think they're like not yet fully sold on Kelce. But I'm saying if they become so, then you know, then it could get interesting. I saw someone else. I wish I could give them credit, but I can't remember someone on Twitter say like that the breakup song entitled "Loose End" is going to be a banger when that comes out. I thought that was a pretty good one. So yeah, that's
for my thoughts. For everyone else that's not the 24 football fans out there, Kelce is a tight end.
A tight end, yes.
And apparently that's what maybe the Swifties will be a part of once they start watching more football. Because I have known folks that didn't watch football and once they started watching, but there's a lot of tight ends out there. I'll watch a little bit more. Just saying. Let's take this break, you guys. We got to take off from this first hour of the Damage Report. Yes, we're through here, but we still have another half hour to go for all you members out there, people who would like to be members and continue this conversation with me and Trey Crowder. We're going to have more to talk about. I like to loosen it and make it a little bit more fun here and there back in the aftermath, which will be to in a few seconds. So please take a tight grip of your ass cheeks and do not let go until we're back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.